Happy first Monday in November, and that means it's time for another edition of Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and once a month, usually the first Monday of each month, we invite Mike in to talk with you about what's new with Wisconsin Public Radio, and he fields your questions and comments about our programming and operations, any WPR-related issue that matters to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post a question or comment on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, the head honcho here at WPR, my boss, Mike Crane, joins us in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. We had a very successful fall membership drive. What was the final outcome, Mike?
Well, the number we announced on the radio is actually, it's gone higher than that. We were able at the end of the drive itself to say that we'd raised about $811,000, which was over our $800,000 goal. And the total as of the other day was more like $827,000 because it's a campaign. Sometimes mail comes in a little late or someone pledges even after the pledge drive. So that's a really thrilling result. This is our single biggest fundraiser of the year. And so we really count on doing well with that to be sure of how we go between now and the end of our fiscal year in June. So that was a really great result. Yeah. And I learned a really interesting thing the other day from the folks in the membership department, which is, you know how we've emphasized the sustainer plan. Well, almost half of the new members that signed up as sustainers. So that's a really wonderful result because, you know, you wonder if people are signing up for their first time, do they really want to sign up for ongoing contributions? And a lot of them did. So that's really terrific.
That is terrific. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is just, it just feels so good to have people who voluntarily will support this service. So that's great. So we do have, though, yet another one-day pledge drive coming up before the end of the year.
I think it's not even going to be a whole day.
We have a half day.
We've jokingly called it our micro drive or our nano drive. This is basically just a little bit of time to inspire people to think about year-end giving because, you know, a lot of us, as we're assembling what our plans are for taxes, might think, you know, that last contribution to a nonprofit would really help out with our taxes. And, of course, it can be a really wonderful holiday gift to a family member or friend who you know loves WPR and might like to be a member. So that's what we'll do that for.
And you can pencil in Tuesday, December 3rd.
And we'll have some special programs and probably a very intense morning, but it ought to be fun as well.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we welcome your feedback. We welcome your questions about Wisconsin Public Radio programming or operations or just about anything related to WPR funding. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, other news is that we have a new station about to or actually right now being tested in northern Wisconsin.
That's right. We've been busy putting up a much stronger signal for the Shawamigan Bay area, and that's our new station, WHWA. It's going to be at 104. It is actually, you could be listening right now on the News and Classical Network. It's 104.7 FM, so if you've had enough of the two of us, check that out in the Shawamigan Bay. And the story is, in this particular case, that it has been a repeat with a little 10-watt repeater of the Brule station, and now it's going to be its own station, WHWA, with a 100 times larger signal. It should be heard all over the Shawamigan Bay area. And so you can check that out, and we'll get the official announcements going later, but already in testing, and so we're excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
While we're on signal issues, the stations in the Sister Bay area may at times experience lower power temporarily because we are doing the groundwork to actually improve the signal power for them. And that means people have to climb up on towers and so on. And in order to keep them all safe, we sometimes have to lower power temporarily. And Audience Services mentioned that to us to remind you about that in case you were thinking of calling. They'll tell you that if that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. By the way, Audience Services, a wonderful staff, and they are there with the help of voicemail 24/7 if you have a question or some feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. And you can call them or get in touch with Audience Services at any time. We'll give you contact information at the end of the show. But right now, we're always happy to have Mike Crane with us. He stops by once a month to hear what's on your mind regarding Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike is Wisconsin Public Radio's director. Speaking of sustainers, there was a comment from a listener that we pulled from our listener log. When I first became a sustaining member, I thought I would be annoyed during the pledge drive because it didn't apply to me. Mm-hmm. Not so. During a pledge drive, sustaining members are always thanked and entered into all the drawings. Most importantly, when I listen to the pledge drive, I am freed from the questions about whether I should donate or when I last donated. It's a great feeling to be a sustaining member. So that's nice to hear.
You know, pledge drives are something that many people sort of love to hate, but most of us here kind of like them because it's a time to sort of show the spirit of public radio together. And I think many people in this state will still understand the metaphor of a barn raising, just that idea that the whole community comes together and puts together something that is good for a neighbor. And that's what we all do when we pledge our support to WPR.
There is a programming change that I want to talk to you about, Mike. This is for the NPR News and Classical Music Network, and it involves classics by request. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, this was interesting. We've had comments right here on this show about mm-hmm. this, that moving classics by request to the weekdays, which happened when we had Ruth Ann Bessman doing the weekday mornings, meant that some people just really couldn't get in. And after lots of consultation and discussion, there is a shift in the schedule. So Ruth Ann is actually moving back to Saturday, and she's going to take Classics Request right back there with her. And I know she's thrilled about that, and listeners that enjoy that really will be as well. And so that's starting up this very next Saturday. And Stephanie Elkins, who's been heard on Saturday mornings, will be shifting things around a bit, and she'll be heard on the weekday mornings. And Ruth Ann will still be around because she'll substitute and stuff like that. She's not going away. And in fact, she'll have that Saturday shift as well. And I know they're both pleased to make that change.
Well, that's interesting, because I think it was just last month we heard from a caller specifically who loved Ruth Ann Bessman and loved Classics by Request, was happy to hear her, but was concerned that perhaps school children would not be able to hear during a weekday while they were at school. So
right.
That was part of the consideration?
It was on the list for mm-hmm. sure, and it was that came up here, as mm-hmm. you say. And one of the things that people who don't happen to normally hear that might not know is that once a month, Ruth Ann has been doing a special targeted at kids, that she really wants kids to make the request. And so that, too, is coming back to Saturday mornings.
And we also have some Thanksgiving holiday programming coming up that's being slotted in for around Thanksgiving time. What special programs do we have coming up?
America's Test Kitchen, which is a program that's new to WPR on Sundays, will have a Thanksgiving special on Thanksgiving Day. That's at 9 o'clock, so some advice about what to do about the stuffing that isn't working right, perhaps, or how you can make a really good cranberry sauce at home or whatever. And related to that, too, we always have the Splendid Table call-in. That will be at 10 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day. And then this is something that we've been doing as a tradition for a long time as well. And it's the Best of the Third Coast Audio Festival. That's from 1 to 3 on Thanksgiving Day. And that's basically kind of radio art, if you will, in some cases, and just remarkable pieces of audio that have been entered into a competition that's held every year in Chicago and then released for broadcast. And if you're able to be by the radio, I recommend it.
And I know that the Joy Cardine Show will be live on Thanksgiving morning, as we always have been, when it's during the week anyway, and all holidays except Christmas. And I take it Central Time will be live as well on Thanksgiving. So we will still be here with our regular.
Keeping you company,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, let's start taking some calls. We have Denise in La Crosse with us first. Hi, Denise.
Hi, how are you, Joy?
Very good. How are you?
Very good. Nice to meet you, Mike. How are you?
Nice to have your call.
Thank you very much. I really love listening to NPR. I think everyone would agree with me that we really enjoy having community input and discussion and wonderful music at our fingertips. It's really nice to have this. It's a luxury item, really. It's really good. We take it for granted sometimes. My only one concern, though, I feel like as Americans, we should cherish our right to have free speech and freedom of discussion and debate. And God knows I'm not a Republican, but I also believe in being fair to all sides. And I was recently, I've been home for like 25 minutes. I was trying to get in on the last show on voters' rights. And I feel as American citizens, we should cherish our right to be able to have truth in media, truth in voting. And why are we offended at showing our ID when we go to a public hospital? We show ID just to get into a different room.
Yeah, Denise, because that was last hour's show, can you make it a little broader of a question for Mike?
My concern is, I know that the last director received a lot of kickbacks from Planned Parenthood. I don't know where is our money coming from for NPR, a majority of it. Is it from public arenas that are more liberal in their views? Is that why we tend to, shade?
I'm sorry, I don't know any. I probably need to get informed on the question of Planned Parenthood and a director or something. You'll have to look into that. But I can certainly answer your question about where our money comes from. And in the case of Wisconsin Public Radio, and you hear this all the time during the pledge drive, of course, is that about 40% of our funds come directly from people like Denise. And I don't know about you, Joy. I know I'm a member, and I feel very good about that as well. And just citizens, there are about 50,000 members, which is, it might be one person or a whole family that's a member. So I couldn't put an exact number of people on the memberships. And that's the biggest single source. And then another major source is business support. You hear those announcements all the time, and that's maybe 10% of our support at the moment. And then piecing together other pieces, let's see, there's about typical year, about 9% comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So that's our tax dollars at work to help, our federal tax dollars at work to help public broadcasting. And then state support. In WPR's case, it's very good. It's 25% of our support comes from the state in the form of general purpose revenue, that sort of thing. And also there's some support that an additional 10% or so, like the building that we're in on the university campus, that sort of thing. And I don't think that's the, I'm leaving out other, I guess, of all those. And we have that all in our annual reports online. If you want to look at detail, audience services can direct you there as well. And it's a little bit different on the national, for instance, National Public Radio, most of its support comes from stations. So that means that the money that WPR puts together, part of it is sent on to NPR, and then they also have the business support, and sometimes they'll get grants and things to do special programs.
Thank you, Denise, for the call. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, talking about the latest happenings with WPR programming and operations and addressing your questions and concerns about Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Angie in Onalaska. Hello, Angie.
Hi, Joy, and hi, Mike.
Hi.
Thanks for the call. I wanted to make a couple of points. I really missed the rebroadcast of the Prairie Home Companion on Sundays. Don't know if there's anything we can do about that.
Well, we're collecting thoughts, so thank you on that one.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
And then, in this age of seeming misinformation, or at least disparate information, if interviewers could ask for citations when guests cite statistics, polls, or give specific examples of evidence to support their points. And then if someone is from a foundation, if conservative or progressive isn't in the name of the foundation, could the interviewer please do us the courtesy of providing that information?
Yeah, Angie, I'll be happy to do that. We do it a little bit more often, but I'm wondering, you need to be told if an idea is conservative or liberal?
No, of a foundation.
Right, but a guest or a foundation or anything. I mean, can't the idea speak for itself?
I wouldn't say necessarily, because sometimes the message is crafted in a way as to come across as either bipartisan or unpartisan. But I think there's a lot of effort and money that goes into, like I say, the message, crafting the message and the talking points. So it's not always clear, I think, as a listener, where they're coming from.
No, that's good. One of the issues that we've had, at least in the past, is if a foundation says that we are a nonpartisan foundation, then it would be up to Wisconsin Public Radio then to say, no, you're not. You're conservative or you're liberal.
I'll speak to that. I know that periodically, public radio, ourselves included, have tried to look at the topics and the guests on shows and say, well, that's a liberal topic, that's a conservative topic, and so on. And it ends up being in the I guess it's radio, the ear of the behearer. And so it is an ongoing challenge. I think that Angie's point is well taken, though, which is that when it's possible to identify where anyone is coming from in terms of a point of view, ideally by drawing them out is probably the best thing we can do. And certainly in terms of our guest selection, part of what we're trying to do is to have a broad spectrum of views. Mm-hmm. We're probably not in the school of believing that there's only a Republican view and a Democratic view, but in fact, the whole spectrum of views that might be drawn out.
Yes, and what about the rebroadcast of Prairie Home Companion on Sundays? That was removed in the latest round of programming changes, at least
back in the summer. That's right.
Yeah, the rebroadcast on Sundays. Presumably, we looked at that particular spot on Sunday mornings, and it wasn't necessarily doing that well there.
Which is surprising, because it has done very well with some stations. And the last thing that I saw suggested that Sundays are doing quite well for us with the new schedule, but it is something that we really look at all the time, and listener input is a part of that. So thanks, Angie.
Angie, thanks very much. And again, we do, we certainly will take your advice to heart. Let's go next to another Angie in St. Francis. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Thanks for everything. What happened to the job line?
What happened to the job line, Mike?
Job line was one of the features of At Issue. I remember that. And when that show retired, we have considered the idea of picking it up in one of our other shows. But so far, I'd say it hasn't been something that one of our producers has decided they'd like to try again. So that's the story with that.
Yep. Thanks very much for the call. From our listener log, this comment from a listener: I've been listening to 90.7 FM all day and hearing several programs on the Affordable Health Care Act. Do you coordinate your programs? Why so many on the same topic? I don't want to hear about this all day long.
We do try to coordinate, and in fact, it's pretty typical, whether you're talking here at WPR or at WBR in Boston, where they do several shows, or anywhere, there can almost be a competition for guests. But I'd say in the case of the Affordable Health Care Act, it probably arises in so many shows because it's such big news and it's so important and there are so many aspects to it. And ideally, although this may not have happened on that day as far as that listener's concerned, we would be drawing out different aspects. And I'd say right, left, and center, a lot of people are interested in it, and so that's why we would do a lot on a particular topic.
Yeah, that's right. And we certainly are trying to provide different guests, different angles, different viewpoints on that. So, and I'm sure you will not. You'll hear more on the Affordable Care Act. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is Mondays with Mike. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us once a month, usually the first Monday of every month, to talk with you about what's happening at Wisconsin Public Radio. Our next caller is Royce in Madison. Hi, Royce.
Good morning. This isn't exactly programming, but there was an article in the New York Times on Saturday on the FCC's efforts to extend AM and to make it more robust. And the reason I'm calling is there was no mention of HD digital. And I guess I'm kind of worried that if it's not on their radar, it's going to kind of fade out. So I was wondering if you could comment on that.
That's an interesting question, Royce. And I'd say you're right. It doesn't seem to be on a lot of radars. Listeners who have an HD radio will notice that our station that you'd be listening to in Madison, 970 AM WHA, and also our 930 AM WLBL in the center of the state sound really great on HD because HD AM cleans up all that noise and stuff, but it doesn't address the issue that the FCC is trying to address as well, which is that in general, usage of AM has gone down very substantially. Some of that is a signal issue. Some of it, I think, is a content issue, depending on what is on AM radio and whether people are attracted to it. Because there are some places that have a very powerful AM that still gets a lot of listening. You know, Milwaukee is an example of that, where WTMJ is still very heavily listened to. And there are places around the country where that is true. The issue for AM, as far as we're concerned, for instance, is that our AM stations have to turn down to almost, not quite zero power, but very, very low at mm-hmm. night. And so people, like this will happen today, because we've had the daylight savings time go off, it means that we have to turn our power down earlier in the evening because it's tied to when sun sets. And so some people will hear less of Central Time if they're tuned in to WHA or to WLBL. Of course, we'll suggest listening to the stream, that sort of thing. Back to Royce's point about HD, the marketplace has not done a ton with HD. More cars are having it in there now. I know the car that I got recently has it, and I actually use it to listen to the Ideas Network on the HD3 of WERN in Madison. And it sounds great, and it goes everywhere with me if I want to listen to the Ideas Network on the WERN signal, as it turns out.
Thanks very much, Royce, for the call. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, who's here to share some news with you about WPR and to address any questions you might have or respond to feedback that you might have about the programming, about things you hear or don't hear, about operations or funding or anything related to public broadcasting, to Wisconsin Public Radio. Randy in Middleton is with us next. Hello, Randy.
Good morning.
Morning.
As far as your new programming, by the way, I especially in the afternoon, I do appreciate the shout out to those of us with a short attention span. the reason I called that, though, is that you may remember that last year, just around December, the Associated Press had outlawed, for lack of a better word, reporters to use the terms like homophobic or Islamophobic, because I was really happy to hear that, simply because I'm not pro-homophobia or pro-Islamophobia. It's just that those are such inclusive terms that say one side of an argument is irrational, phobic. But I seem to be hearing that used again as inclusive terms from your reporters or show hosts. Not often, but, you know.
Are you sure you're not hearing it from callers who call into a talk show, perhaps?
Yes, I am sure. And I'm wondering if the if you have a any policy in place that follows the AP guidelines.
Certainly, AP is part of the guidance that we use for our news reports and our discussions. And we also, in fact, I had a colleague from another public radio business talk about how this particular station is like the graduate school of public radio. We have a lot of discussion about the broader issue that you're talking about, Randy, which is language use. You know, what is it that we should be saying? How do we characterize that? For instance, I'd say there's been a very active debate, not only here, but at NPR as well, about how much to refer to the Affordable Health Care Act as Obamacare or how much not, because I think that the essence of what you're getting at, and we buy it very much, is that use of words has consequences. Mm-hmm. And that can be in any kind of a debate. There's all kinds of things that come up in the news all the time about how using a term in a certain way can have an effect. And so we're very interested in that, whether it's from the reporting sense or even just from the fun with words sense with the show Away with Words, that there's a lot of discussion on that show on Sunday mornings about what terms mean and how their usage changed, that sort of thing. So we're very aware of that, and I think we'll certainly continue our conversation about these particular words you brought up.
Yeah, and I'm just going to clarify a little bit what I said is that I don't think as a talk show host I have ever said that's homophobic or, you know, it's not me making that statement about something.
Yeah.
It would maybe be that, you know, politician so-and-so said this was homophobic.
Sure.
And then you would use the word if you're attributing it to someone else. So, but I don't think it's our hosts or news people's place to call something.
Well, and I take Randy's point to be that we should be thoughtful about use of words, and that makes sense. Thanks, Randy.
Yeah, thank you. Let's take a break and then take some more calls. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Oh, I see. This is what we're going to do. Your remodeled website is a disaster, according to someone who called Listener Services.
Okay.
I can't even find the midday quiz archives. I'm sure that you have gotten a deluge of emails requesting that you return to the old, easy-to-navigate format.
No, not actually. I understand that comment, but the old format actually has had so many comments for so long about how it was impossible to use that was one of the reasons we relaunched. You'll notice if you go to WPR.org and you look in the upper left that it says next to the website, it says beta. And that's a clue that means we know we aren't there yet in terms of the new website. We'll have to look into the question in the midday quiz archives specifically. But inevitably, you think you've got a better idea. It isn't always better. But what we are seeing so far is that in the month or two since we've relaunched the site, people are spending more time with the pages that are there. And that's a very positive result. That suggests that, and just as many people are using the website. So we're looking at things that the web people call it bounce rates and time on site and things like that. And we're looking at that to try to keep improving. And I know even since the last time that I was here with you, Joy, they've made a number of really good changes, and that will continue. So this is one that will definitely be on our list to make sure that the midday quiz archives and all the archives are really findable.
Is there anything new and improved coming with the website?
Absolutely, yes. And I'd say that the biggest thing is to one, in the area of findability, that we're looking at everything that we think should be easy to find, and if it's not, we'll try to fix that. An example was that we have that wonderful Wisconsin Life series that you play on Friday mornings, that's on Central Time once a week or so, and that's on the News and Classical Network. It was really impossible to find. Now you can look under Shows, Wisconsin Life, and it will take you right there. And so we fixed that one, and there'll be others like that. The other area is content, and that is that we're really working hard to make more of what you get from the radio available in a web context. So let's say that we happen to say the best possible, most scintillating thing on today's Joy Cardine show right now. Then we might have an article written up that talks about that and make it accessible to many people who hadn't even heard the show, but would be really glad to know about that particular thing that arose. And we're also trying to facilitate people blogging so they can have online commentary or online discussion of news or whatever. So more to come for sure.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane, director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the November edition of Mondays with Mike. If you have some feedback for Mike or a question about Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234 is the number you can call right now, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with WPR Director Mike Crane. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Mike in Oconomowoc. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
I had two comments regarding guests. One, to just kind of reemphasize what an earlier caller said, which is that I would also find it very important to know who's funding research, who's politically backing guests. So I do like to know what their persuasion is and if they're Democrat or Republican or conservative and so forth. But also just in general, I do rely on NPR to help me find out who is doing research and who's publishing things. I've sometimes taken car rides for like 15, 20 minutes listening to the program, listening to very interesting interviews of guests, and not hearing them reintroduced during that time. So it's not a major issue, just a little thing with me that I would like to hear the guests reintroduced a little bit more often, and your website a little easier to navigate to go on and find out who it is I just heard interview. So just a couple of quick little comments. I love the programming, though.
So Mike, had you tried on the website lately to find that out, or is that
I have to admit, not real recently. No, maybe 3 weeks, a month ago or something. So if there are updates since then, I haven't tried that. No.
Yeah, we're trying to make things a lot more findable. For instance, this is probably already, I haven't looked yet, but I would bet that this is on the Joy Cardine show page, as well it mm-hmm. should be. So that would be shows, then you click shows, click the Joy Cardine show, and then you would find the listings for the latest ones there. But a point well taken. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the reintroduction, because particularly with the NPR shows, it's almost like a funny habit that let's say it's the two of us, it would be, I'm Joy Cardine and Mike Crane, let me ask you this. And reusing the person's name and maybe even where they're from, that sort of thing, very frequently. So it sounds like some hosts are better at it than others, and a good idea for us to be aware of.
Yes, thanks very much, Mike. I agree. We try to do it more often than we used to, but I think sometimes we forget. We have to have Bill Mertens, a director, prodding you every once in a while, I think, to remind you. But, you know, and I do appreciate Mike's suggestion and others. This has come up so many times in terms of funding of guests and in their political persuasion. You know, it does become a little bit burdensome to be, you know, Mike Crane, a Democrat, or the funders are blank, blank, blank every time you reintroduce a guest, because it's just something, though, that certainly we will consider as we put mm-hmm. shows together. Emmanuel in Wauwatosa is with us now. Hi, Emmanuel.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering if Mike is maybe worrying at times about the fact that many people like myself and my wife and so on, who listen to public radio for the very reason that you advertise to be free of commercial interests, we've been reluctant to contribute a whole lot, because the announcer often will come on to state that this program is supported by, and then there's a long listing of businesses and sometimes people who have clearly donated substantial sums of money. And I'm just wondering if that's a bit disingenuous.
I don't think it's disingenuous, although thank you, Emmanuel, for the comment. One of the things that we try to make clear is that business support is a part of what supports public radio. And in fact, there have been studies about this going back many years, and you're by no means alone in having that. I remember one report called it underwriter anxiety, and that was basically the concern that some of us as listeners feel that the underwriters would be influencing the programs. And we have strong policies in place to try to ensure that that never happens. In shorthand, we call it the firewall. And the idea is that from a policy standpoint and a practice standpoint, our producers really aren't involved in speaking ever to the major business supporters or anything like that, unless it's just in casual conversation, but they're not influencing editorial in any way. And I think that part of it, too, is the proportion that we talk about, that listener support is about 40%, plus also just the general support that we get from state and federal government. And at WPR, the corporate support is about 10%. And probably the last point I'd make, Emmanuel, is that we will certainly turn down money if it comes with strings attached that would cause us to feel as if it was influencing the programming. It's really a key for us to maintain that editorial independence, and it's written very deeply into the DNA of most public radio. I'll speak for WPR and NPR in this case, that it's deeply written into what we do, and I hope that's true of all public radio.
Thank you so much for the call. From our listener log, a comment. I heard recently that there is a promotional relationship with Amazon.com. How does that work?
A great follow-up to Emmanuel's question, isn't it? So Amazon has an arrangement where you can be an affiliate, and if a purchase is made by going through the affiliate, then a portion of the sales goes to that affiliate. So, for instance, if you go to our WPR.org/shop page and you click on the Amazon link and then make your purchase at Amazon, then that would, if it's one of the items that counts in that, that would help WPR a little bit. And it's probably, you know, a few $1,000s a year at the moment. Probably as we approach holidays, it's something you'll hear us talk about more to try to get that to help. But the basic idea is people are buying at Amazon anyway, and this is a way to help fund programs at WPR.
Well, fundraising to some extent, too. Another listener log comment, is there any reason why Wisconsin Public Radio is not on the Partners in Giving campaign? This is something state employees can donate some of their paycheck to as a charitable contribution.
Yeah, you know, you can write us in. That's okay. And basically, it's like the United Way, except it's the one for state employees. And I think we have looked into that, and I don't recall a conclusion to that. So it's something we could look at again this year. But definitely, there are a few people who've written us in and made their giving to WPR through Partners in Giving or the United Way. In fact, not long ago, someone in Chicago likes to contribute to WPR through their United Way. And so we have to make an acknowledgement of that with the United Way. And I remember getting that paperwork emailed just a few weeks ago.
Let's go to Diane in Milwaukee next. Hello, Diane.
I listened to Snap Judgment on Friday night at 10 o'clock, I think. I think that's a good show, and I'd like to hear that one repeated instead of wait, don't tell me. I've saturated up to my eyebrows on that show. It's been repeated so many times. And another one that's really good is Says You on Sunday morning at 8. It's about words.
Yeah, it's a word games and thought games on Says You. It's one of my favorites to tune in for. And Snap Judgment, a new show that we've been trying out, and I'm really thrilled to know that you enjoy it. Not so happy you don't like something else, of course, but good to know, because, you know, one of the things that we often feel when we try something new is that it may not develop a fan base. And if it doesn't, that's the worst for all of us. Because it means we have something on the radio no one listens to, and we want to avoid that. Thanks, Emily.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's Diane, and I'm sorry.
I'm being
distracted here because we have a caller who wants to know when the new station in Washburn is going to go to full power, and we talked about that at the very beginning of the show. Mike, you want to repeat that?
Yeah. It's possible if they're doing some testing today that it might not be on this very moment because we are in a testing phase, but WHWA Washburn is on. And we haven't made a big announcement because we are in that testing phase, but it really should be there at 104.7 FM. If not, let audience services know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go next to Robert in Appleton. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I've always been tried to be a financial supporter of NPR here in Wisconsin, and I was kind of interested because a couple weeks ago I was looking through an architectural magazine and they had a large spread on the corporate offices in D.C. on NPR, and it was looked like a pretty palatial environment, where a lot of money was obviously spent on the corporate office. So I'm like sitting there to myself going, why am I sending my money so that this money can be spent in a way that I really did not think the money would be. I mean, my feeling is you always emphasize programs and trying to get the best speakers, et cetera. And then, you know, you see this spread where the corporate office was quite luxurious. And I just have some issues about that. If this is all really being funded by the public, is that really the best use of the money?
Mike?
Well, I confess I haven't been there yet and didn't see the architectural magazine. I've seen a few photos. And what I do know is that they went out and worked with the NPR Foundation and others to raise the money for those studios. And my impression is that they were able to secure a building at a very reduced cost because it was in an area of Washington, D.C. that has desperately needed rehabilitation in terms of the quality of the buildings and so on. It's sort of an old warehouse district. And without digging into it, which I certainly think, Robert, if you're intrigued, you might want to contact NPR directly and ask more about it. Knowing how we tend to approach things, I think they would be looking for very high quality at the best cost that they could find. Beyond that, I can't speak to it deeply. Sorry, I don't have more information than that.
Yeah. Somebody that's giving a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, though, that's not being sent to NPR for office remodeling, is it?
No, it wouldn't have been for that. Like I say, they raised the money separately for that. The dollars that you send to WPR that go to NPR are for programs.
Yeah. Well, we have vehicle donations are something that we can get a little bit of a contribution if you decide to donate your vehicle to the Car Talk vehicle donation program. How does that work, Mike?
So it's as simple as going to the vehicle donation page on our website, which you'll find underneath the support menu, support and then vehicle donation. And there's a number you can call too that we've been announcing that on the radio lately. So that's certainly a possibility as well. And the number, by the way, is 866-789-8627. And like I say, we have it on the website as well. And basically, let's say that you have an old junker that's worth $1,000 on the auction market, then the vast majority of that $1,000 will come directly to WPR. And that has turned into thousands of dollars this year already. And we understand that as people approach the end of the year, it's one of the donations they think of making. They've got a crappy old jalopy and they're happy to get rid of it without having to deal with anything else. It's like the spot with Paula Poundstone talks about, that you can turn stuff into programs. And I heard Carl Castle talk about it as well. And it's just a great idea for making good use of an asset that you no longer need.
Yeah, I did.
It can be boats and things as well. Yeah. You have an old pontoon boat, they'll take that as well.
I did donate my jalopy. It was a very old Toyota Celica. It really was a fine vehicle for the 20 years of its life. But and Wisconsin Public Radio did get a pittance from that.
Yeah.
So that
well, and I think you can probably take from all of the different things we're talking about today about money, member dollars, mm-hmm. and the Amazon thing, and we haven't today mentioned, but people might have mentioned the trip that Larry Mueller is taking to Hawaii. All of these are an effort to put together sufficient funds to deliver on the promise of public radio. And, you know, we might all like a situation where it was all taken care of, but instead we all take care of it together. And that feels very American. And in fact, I was reading an article about the BBC, which others point out is a very different way of funding. They have the teletax, you know, where you pay a fee on your television, and that helps to fund the British Broadcasting Corporation. But that model's under fire, too. You know, I think one of the things that's been gratifying about the way public radio works is that it is a group of different kinds of funds that come together and make it all possible. So thanks to everybody who's already been giving, and you know, if you're able to overcome your concerns about business support, like Emmanuel raised, or whatever, that would be terrific. Donating a car is great. All kinds of different ways that you could support WPR.
You know, I meant to talk a little bit earlier about the Vietnam Memorial Project that Wisconsin Public Radio is involved in. Veterans Day is coming up. What's new with that? Is that the photo for every name?
A face for every name, mm-hmm. That's right. And this has been really great. In the past year, as part of this effort, which has been something that public broadcasters throughout the state are working on, that's Milwaukee Public Radio and Milwaukee Public Television, WPR, WPT, all getting together to do that. More than 115 photos have been added to the project, and that means that of the number of veterans of Vietnam War that are on the wall in Washington, just 450 photos still need to be found. And so we'll have some more announcements. And no surprise, that's a long-term effort. And so I expect within the next couple of months, we'll be talking about it a lot again.
And I think we have time for one last call. Lila in Soldiers Grove.
Hi. Well, for me, a big part of the promise of public radio is the news. And you did give warnings out in the summer of 2012 that the All Things Considered was going to be shifting, and I couldn't believe that you would remove my last opportunity to hear the news, because I haven't heard Morning Edition for decades here in Hill Country. And I'm wondering when I might get to hear it again. I listen on WHHI, and the other stations that you said I could hear it on, I don't get.
Oh, I'm disappointed that's the case for you, Lila. By any chance, do you have an HD radio?
No.
We could loan you one if you want to get in touch with Audience Services. We have the full NPR News and Classical channel on WHHI's HD signal. And I think probably in Soldiers Grove, you get a really strong signal from HHI digital, and that might fix your problem. So if you'll be in touch with Audience Services and mention that you'd heard me mention that, we'd be happy to send one out or just make a recommendation for an HD radio.
You can get a hold of Audience Services anytime. Leave a message if no one answers. 1-800-747-7444. Also, places on WPR.org to get in touch with us at any time. Mike, we're out of time for this particular hour. You will not be with us on the first first weekend.
Maybe the other Mike then, huh?
Yeah, Mike Arnold instead will be with us on the first Monday in December. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.